What is up? It is Jason Curtis Rivera, brat, brat. You may know me as the composer to Renap the Musical. You may know me as the composer and performer for all of the Purple Pants podcast drops. You may even know me as Bryce's ride or die from Survivor Philadelphia. Bryce, you're killing it. Love the podcast. Love what you're doing. I got one question for you, and it's who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky freak? Yeah, might be me, might be you, might be. See you later, Bryce. Love you.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Woo. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Woo. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
We blazing through because you already know this episode is finna be amazing. Hello, welcome to this week's episode. I am your host, the one, the only, might be you, might be me, might be, hey, it's Bryce Isaiah. How is everyone doing? I hope everybody is doing amazing, okay? And if you not, pause this podcast and do some jumping jacks and come back. Because listen, only positive energy this week, but what's the tea? Shout out to my Purple Pants posse. What it is? Oh, what's up? What's up to all the new listeners? You know, if you could do your baby boy a huge favor, if you can make sure that you subscribe to my podcast, okay? It ain't nothing but short of amazing, okay? So subscribe to that podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Uncle Pookie's back of his truck. Make sure you guys write a review. I reads the review, okay? Come on, give your baby boy some five-star ratings and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that it's pure amazing. Yes, I'm so excited for this week's episode. I've got so much to deliver to y'all this week, okay? We not playing. Like I said, we blazing through because it's amazing. We blazing through because it's amazing. Okay, I don't know if you can't tell, but your baby boy had a little coffee, so I'm ready to go. But before we get into all of that, I got a lot to get off my chest. But first of all, what's up? How y'all doing? How everybody? What's up? How the kids? I hope y'all got your Halloween costume together. And let me just say, my Halloween costume came in the mail, okay? I might not be trick-or-treating, but I'm finna shut the internet down with my Halloween costume, okay? I'm just telling y'all now, I'm finna shut the internet down with my Halloween costume, okay? Now, what was I saying? Now, yeah, how everybody doing? You want to know what I've been doing?
Busy. 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 Busy as a Busy as a T. I'm busy as a quarantine. Beep, beep, beep. Busy as a quarantine. Beep, beep, beep. Brr,
brr. You know. Ooh, Purple Pants Posse, I've been waiting to record this episode because I got to tell y'all the week that I have been going through, okay? Baby boy has been stressed out, okay? Now listen to this story, okay? Because I've been holding it in, all right? So, earlier in the week, when DZ, you know, my brother, hit me up and said his aunt is moving and he needs some people to help move her, okay? I said, no problem, you know, felt a little sick day coming on, so, you know, baby boy took a sick day, okay, that was Thursday, to help his aunt, who his aunt is amazing. I loved her, she's so nice. She had these Prada bags, she had these Louis Vuitton bags, you know, listen, I was more so going through the closet, okay, than helping move, but, you know, baby boy was doing his thing. My job, okay, because you know, you know your baby boy got a little mini cleaning business. So my job was to help load up the first truck. And then when the first truck is gone, baby boy can get to work to start cleaning the house. Because listen, his aunt sold the house already. So she had to be out of the house. Okay, no problem. So when I arrived, which may have been like 10 to 15 minutes late, because you know Wendell gave an itinerary, a time. So 15 minutes late, I had to stop at the Wawa to get my coffee. Okay, so it was cold. I had a little hoodie. Now, I had also wore my running shorts because, you know, I figured I'd be running up and down the steps. Now, my running shorts that I wear don't have pockets. Okay, so I had on this little, like, I don't know, Old Navy dirty hoodie that I just always throw on. So I put my wallet in my pocket. Okay, wallet in my pocket. So I get there, it's Wendell, it's Joey, it's Nas, it's Tink. They already got a little line going where, like, you know, Tink in the house passing a box to Joey, passing a box to Nas, passing a box to Wendell. And I'm like, okay, well, what I'm supposed to do? Because I don't really know, you know. So I try to get into the line. And Nas is like, get on the truck with Wendell. So I was like, oh, okay, just kick me out the line, Nas. So I got on the truck with Wendell, and the truck was one of them big moving trucks because Wendell's aunt had a lot of stuff. So my job to start was to get the stuff from Nas and slide it all the way to the back to Wendeezy. Okay, so after about 30 boxes, baby boy got a little hot, okay? So I took my hoodie off. Now remember, wallet in hoodie. So, took my hoodie off. Wendell was like, oh, if it's hot too, let me take my hoodie off. Wendell took his hoodie off. We put it, like, to the side of the truck. Now, mind you, dude, that was, like, at 10 o'clock. So, throughout the day, I had other tasks to do. I had to go inside the house, start help cleaning. You know, just so then we had a little powwow about how the rest of the day would go. Wendell's cousin, shout out to Jace. And mind you, oh, Jace is so funny. So, that's Wendell's cousin, his aunt's son. So mind you, we were finding a lot of old things in the house, and so I felt like this old cordless phone. And so Jace was coming outside the house, and so I just was pretending like I was talking on the phone, like, I think I can find them. Now mind you, the phone not plugged up to nothing. No, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, oh, Jace, I think they want you. And so Jace looks at me, takes the phone, he puts his hand over like the microphone, is like, who is it? I'm like, I don't know. So he's like, hello. Hello. For like 5 minutes. I just thought it was so funny. So back to the move-in. We load up the first car. The car goes out. I start going in the house cleaning, you know, going through each room, getting everything out of each room, organizing it for his aunt. And, you know, by the time I looked up, it's like 8, 9 o'clock, and the house is completely cleaned and moved out. And so we're all getting ready to leave. And then I realized, like, wait a minute, where my hoodie with my wallet in it? Okay. And then Wendell's like, well, that your hoodie was next to my hoodie that has the key to my car. And so we can't find the hoodie now. And I wasn't outside anymore, like moving when the truck came back. I wasn't outside moving the boxes and I was inside cleaning. So I have no recollection for like the last 7 hours of where my hoodie was. So it's like, ugh, my ID, my wallet, my credit card. So I'm just like, I'm freaking out. And then we also had like the junkyard people. You ever seen them junkyard people that ride around your neighborhood, like on trash days with like an old beat up truck? And it's normally like 3 of them. And so they came to the house that day as well to kind of get other, like, you know, the stuff that they didn't want out, help clear the stuff out. And so I'm thinking, like, could they have picked up the hoodies thinking it was junk? So baby boy was going through it. So the next day they were at Wendell's aunt's new house moving the stuff in. Now I wasn't scheduled to go there, but I said, oh, I'm gonna come help. Really, I'm just gonna come help try to find my wallet and my hoodie. So I go there, I'm searching through all of the boxes, I can't find it. Okay, baby boy getting a little frustrated. It's raining outside, so I called Nas, who was somebody who was there the first day, and I'm like, calling Nas, and Nas is like, yeah, I saw the hoodies, we put them on the table, and then I feel like somebody put them in a car. So I'm like, a car? So I'm searching everybody's car. Meanwhile, I'm talking on my phone and it's raining. I don't find it. Baby boy gets a little frustrated, so I just tiptoe to my car and I go home. Now when I get in my car, I notice that my phone is not operating correctly, and I think it has water damage. So to sum this all up, I don't have a wallet, I don't have an ID, I don't have my credit cards, I don't have my debit card, and now my phone is acting up. So I go home, I have to use my house phone because now my phone is not working. I call my bank. I'm saying to my bank, hi, I'm moving, even though I'm not really moving, but you know, they don't need to know the story. But I'm like, hi, I'm moving, and I believe one of the movers packed my credit card in a box and I just can't find it. And mind you, that's how I'm talking to my bank, because just, I'm weird. Whenever I have to call like a bank or something, I always like in my mind put on, I just give myself a weird voice. And so that was my voice. And I was just like, I'm moving and I misplaced my debit card, but I know it's not stolen. I'm like, I have my car payment coming out and student loans coming out, and I don't want you to cancel the credit card, the debit card. I'm like, it's not attached to the account. It's attached to the debit card. So I don't want you to cancel it. And you know how they be like, oh, this is a recorded line. Don't what? Like, you know, they before you start talking to somebody, they'll be like, this is a recorded line. Da, da, da. So, you know, the person is like, oh, no problem. Got you. And I'm like, okay, great. So you'll mail me out a new card. And you'll keep my other car active. So in the event that I find my original car, I can just discard the new car. This person is like, yes. And so also, I'm like, can I pay the $20 to have it overnighted? The person is like, yes. Okay. So Friday, no phone. Just had to order a new debit card. Just ordered a new ID. And so I'm just like, you know what? Friday is just canceled. I'm just going to go to sleep. It is what it is. So the next day, I wake up. Okay, I don't have access to my phone, so I can't, like, you know, I can't text, I can't, you know, I am, you know, just lost. However, you know, I turn to Netflix, and Netflix really calms me down. But I get up the next morning, and I can see my email alerts. I can't open my phone, but I can see the email alerts, and it's, like, from my car, and it's from my, my student loan, and I can see that it says, like, has to do with payment. So I'm like, child, did they cut my card off? And I told them not to. So I get my house phone again, okay? Call them up. Do, 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 do. Now this time they don't get a voice. They get spicy pricey. Okay. And then it's like to press one to order a new. No, customer representative. I'm sorry. We did not get that. Customer representative. Please hold. So I get a customer service representative. Actually, he was really nice. I explained to him the situation, and he's like, oh, I'm, and this is another thing they do that pisses me off. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, Miss Johnston. Excuse me, ain't no miss on this phone, sir. Okay, listen, that is just trying me. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Johnston. Yes, get my pronouns correct. So he's like, I don't know why whoever would have told you. I'm like, well, listen, I don't know their name, but y'all say the calls are recorded. So pull the tape. Pull the tape, okay? Because I spent 20 minutes explaining to that gentleman what I wanted to happen and what I did not want to happen. And he said that it could happen. So this new representative that I have is like, well, listen, Mr. Johnston. Now, every time you say Mr. Johnston, he like, you know, it's a big deal. It's like, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Johnston. First of all, me even saying that is slightly irritating me because I like literally every time that he said it now, it was like Mr. Johnston. Go ahead, sir. But he was saying that, but he was really nice though. So I won't take that away from him because I was, listen, Spicy Ricey was on the line. So he was explaining to me, he was like, I don't know what representative you got, but he like, anytime we mark a card as lost or stolen, he's like, the card automatically gets canceled and we can't recover it. He's like, if you would have just called to order and say, I want a new card, new numbers, nothing's wrong. So, I mean, lesson learned. But he's like, I don't know why. He's like, I don't even know who would tell you that. I'm like, well, pull the tapes, okay, Mr. Representative. Pull the tapes and you'll find out who it was. And then also, I'm like, I paid $20 to get this overnighted, okay? It's not at my door. So he was like, okay, we'll put the $20 back on your account. You bet you're darn right you will. But anyway, he was super nice. So then, child, the story continues. So my phone's not working, right? So we got the credit card situation together. It's allegedly will be here on Monday. I'll report back. So my phone's not working. So I have to like take it to the mall to one of them like stands to get it fixed. Now, I just got my phone fixed because it felt like it doesn't even matter. But so went to the same stand. I'm like, my phone is not working. Now, here's another thing. I don't have my debit card. I don't have my credit card. I don't have my ID. And I'm like, and I don't normally keep cash on me. So I happened to like kind of just like scrounge through my house. And I was like, well, let me just get my passport in case, you know, the police stop me and charge, you know, listen, this day and age, you want to make sure you have your ID and all of that. So I went to get my passport and I had $120 in my passport. I'm like, Okay, come on, amazing. Okay, amazing is still going to be an amazing day. So I had $120, right? So I get to the mall. I'm like, my phone got a little wet. They're like, oh, your phone, you should never let your... Listen, sir, I didn't come here for a lecture. Okay? I'm just telling you what happened. Oh, your phone, you should never let your phone... Listen, sir, can you fix it or not? He's like, well, if it's the motherboard, it's $90. If I had to replace the screen... It's $200. Well, in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, listen, I only got $120. And literally, I was just here 3 weeks ago when I gave y'all $200. So I'm like, okay, I only have $120. So hopefully it's the motherboard. So he's like, okay, it'll be about 15 minutes. So I'm like, oh, okay, ooh, you know what? I go to Bath and Body Works. I need to get some new candles. Child, okay. And literally, this is how absentee my mind is, right? So I go to Bath and Body Works because I'm like, ooh, I like they 3-wick candles for $20. I'm like, let me get 3 of them. Okay. Baby boy gets 3 of them, stands in line. Okay. Stands in line, gets up to the line. They tell me how much it is. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't have my wallet. And this money that I have in my pocket is for my phone. So I had to like get out of line. I went back upstairs. They were like, oh, it is. They were like, we replaced the screen. So it was $200. I'm like, well, listen, I only have $120. They're like, oh, well, I mean, you can. Then he gonna say, well, you can pay half in cash, half on your credit card. Excuse me, sir. If I listen to the podcast and go all the way back and tell me everything that I've been going through, I don't have it. So I was like, I don't know what you want me to do. I'm like, I literally was just here 3 weeks ago. You fixed my phone. When I walked up, you said, hey, buddy. So I'm like, what's the tea? I'm like, this is all I have. $120. What's up? Child, he took that $120. Okay. And I went on about my day. So then my phone is working. So I'm excited. I'm like, yay. Let me call my friends and everybody. Like, hey, I have a phone back. So I call my friend Sarah. I give her the rundown. I call my friend Dara. I give her the rundown. I call Wendeezy. Give him the rundown. He doesn't believe that my phone was broken. But get this, y'all. So I called Wendell to tell him the whole experience that I went through today. And he's like, oh, yeah, we found your wallet last night. You know what? So they done found my wallet. All my cards is cut off. Okay. I mean, child, you could throw the wallet in the trash at this point. But anyway, whew, it's still going to be an amazing week because I'm not letting any of that get. So I'm sorry. I just had to unload on y'all because literally that's what your baby boy was dealing with this weekend. And I know everyone is like, you sound crazy. But I will tell you what it has taught me is that I can learn some patience in my life. I need to learn some grace in my life. I need to learn to take a step back when I feel like my life is going out of control, because I was definitely feeling like for the last 3 days, my life was going out of control. I definitely, looking back on the situation, I could have just took a couple of deep breaths and been like, there's nothing that I can do. Let me just wait a couple of days to see what turns up. But I was trying to be responsible and being like, let me order these new cars. Let me do this. Like, I don't know. I was trying to be responsible, but I sometimes feel like we live in this fast paced world and we feel like we just always have to keep up and we have to like, you know, but sometimes it's okay to disconnect and not have a phone, not have no credit cards, because guess what? I can't tell you how much money I saved this weekend, because normally when it's a pay weekend, y'all know, baby boy, listen, I'm on the Amazon. I'm on this. I'm on that. So it really forced me to kind of like take a step back. And I guess what? I got through taking a step back and being without my phone and being without my credit card. So that really just kind of like just showed me that I can be a little high strung. I can be like, you know, it's okay. Take a breather. It's still going to be amazing. And so I just want to put that on to the Purple Pants posse that no matter what the situation is, whether it's work, home, family, life, your husband, your boyfriend, your kids, your brother, your sister, your neighbor, whatever it is that you feel like is taking all of your energy, guess what? It's only taking the energy that you allow it to take. So if you just take yourself back, disconnect yourself from it, give it a day, 2, 3, and then check back in, I really feel like it could be a world of difference. And that's what I learned through this weekend, is that I need to take a step back. I don't have to be in control of everything. I can, guess what, go without my phone for a couple of days. I can go without my credit card. I go without my ID. It's the important things in life that are really are what is amazing to us, and the fact that I have my health, the fact that I have a roof over my head, the fact that I've got friends that I can lean on in times when I am like in distress. And so that was really the point of the story to tell y'all that I went through it and coming out on the other side of it. And I know for me, it could sound very frivolous, but in the moments I was really kind of like freaking out a little bit, but it just really taught me that like, no matter what it is in life, you can always take a step back. Okay. Sorry, y'all. But y'all know y'all my therapist, so I had to talk to y'all about it. But I am really excited for this week's episode. Okay. Now I got a clear heart. My phone is working. Don't got no ID though. Don't got no credit card. My credit card ain't coming to mail yet. And I haven't gone to Wendell House to pick up my wallet. But guess what? It's still an amazing day, and this podcast is still about to blaze and be amazing. So let me give y'all the rundown real quick. So you know we got the church announcements this week, and on the menu this week, listen, baby boy watched Amazing Race for the first time, okay? I was live tweeting about it. I said, you know what? Let me bring it to the podcast, but who could I bring on the podcast to discuss Amazing Race? Is none other than season 29 winner. Yes, Brooke Kamhigh comes on and we give a very in-depth, you know, analysis of how the players did on this first leg of the race. And then, you know, we back with some casual tea with Amar and B. It's the casual tea with Amar and B. Okay. And then you already know we've got our Purple Pants picks this week. My mom is back, Miss Barb, for Barb's message. And we got the freak of the week, baby. Okay, so listen. Take a breath. Whatever's going on in your life, don't worry about it. Sit back and just enjoy this podcast because we're getting started with the church announcements.
Welcome to church. Welcome to church. It's a church announcement, so now. Welcome to church.
All right, and for this week's church announcements, I've got two church announcements, and they're actually dedicated to some of our Purple Pants Posse members. Our first church announcement, I just want to send well wishes to one of our loyal members, one of my biggest supporters, and somebody that always shows me love is Miss Amy Stiller, aka The Mamas. She recently had talked about on her Instagram that she's going through some health complications, and we here at the Purple Pants Podcast just want to send her some love, some well wishes. We know that you are a fighter. We know that you are a survivor, Miss Amy, and so I just want to put that on the church announcements. And so if all of the Purple Pants Posse could just send some positive well wishes, some positive energy to Miss Amy and let her know she a survivor. She not gonna give up. We not gonna stop. Love you, Miss Amy. And the next church announcement. Okay. First of all, I just have to say my Purple Pants Posse, y'all are amazing. My next church announcement goes to Miss Summer Downs Bierman. Okay. She always shows me love. Yes. And during the summertime, she had her summer concert series. I was watching it, jamming, always showing me love. And she kept saying to me, I got this jam for you. I got this jam. Let me send you the jam. Let me send you the jam. So she really kept her word and sent me a case of her homemade jam. And bang, bang. Now listen, Summer, I had my wallet this weekend, so I couldn't go out and buy some breads and stuff to spread it, but baby, now that I have my wallet, I'm so excited to try this homemade jam. It looks so cute, and I just want to say thank you. She wrote me a nice handmade card, said, tell Miss Barb I said hi. So I just, from the bottom of my heart, love my Purple Pants Posse. Thank you so much for supporting me. It's just, all right, that's it. I don't want to get all mushy-gushy, but thank you so much. Summer, you are amazing. Now let's get into this meat and potatoes. Oh, the meat and potato. Oh, meat and potatoes. It's the menu.
It's a man who, it's a menu. Meat and potatoes like we're cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a menu. Meat and potatoes like we're cooking up a great stew.
Keeping the menu rolling. I'm so excited for this segment because I've got one of my friends coming on to talk all things Amazing Race. And I mean, she might be one of my good friends in my head and a good friend in person, but some of you may know her from Amazing Race. Okay, listen, where the bell at? Season 29 winner. You know I got a thing for winners, okay? You know I got a thing for winners. So I just want to give a warm welcome to the podcast, Brooke Kim. Hi. Hey, Brookie.
Hello. How are you?
I am good. How are you? Hey, doggy, because I know that's the dog. Hey.
It was. He walked right in right as we started recording.
Yes, he was like, I want to say hi. I want to be on a Purple Pants podcast too.
You know Bacon. Okay. You've met him. He loves you.
So I'm so excited to have Brooke on the podcast. One, because she's amazing. Two, she won Amazing Race season 29. And three, because she's my friend. So I always just like to give a backstory when I have people on the podcast, because for me, I don't just like to have random people on the podcast. I like to have some type of connection. And so I met Brooke, I would say maybe about 2 years. And what is crazy is 2 years around this time, I was coming to a Survivor event at the illustrious Eliza, and listen, y'all better go out and vote for Eliza and stop playing it.
Yes.
New York, okay? Manhattan District Attorney, you better vote. But anyway, so anybody knows about the Wine and Cheese Alliance that goes over there in New York. And so I went to an event, I think it was Wendell and I, and the Brooke, the love of my life, was there. And I just feel like whenever I meet good people, we always just instantaneously connect. And so Brooke and I connected. And I think like 2 weeks later, there was like a Halloween party going on. And Brooke was like, y'all should come. And me and Wendell was like, okay. And so we went to a Halloween party and it was so much fun. And Brooke and I have been amazing friends ever since. So I just had to preference that by saying like, yes, I ain't just asked Brooke to come over here because she the winner of season 29. I asked her because I love everything Brooke, and we've stayed in contact these last 2 years, and it's just been such an amazing, amazing, okay, amazing race, and it's been an amazing ride to just be your friend, Brooke.
Stop it. Like, I can't. I could listen to you talk all day. You are just a bright light. Every time you pop up on my phone, every time I see your face, every time you're on Instagram, you are pure sunshine in a bottle, and you make me so happy. And I'm so glad to be here, and I will be here as many times as you like. Yeah. And I'm so excited to talk the Amazing Race with you, because it's a topic that I know and I love, and I'm so excited it's back. And I'm so excited to talk about all of these teams and the really cool leg that they started with. And I'm a little bit jealous of it because it was beautiful and they went to a place they've never been before. And yes. I always like that. I always like that. New and exciting places and tasks that were really fun.
Yes. Much fun. I like watched. So this is, let me just preference this by saying this is the first time I watched Big Brother in I'm saying Big Brother, Amazing Race in such a long time. I haven't.
Well, I mean, since 29, right?
Yeah, I mean, girl, okay. But seriously, like, I just haven't watched it in such a long time. And obviously, you know, we're all going through survivor withdrawal. So it's like, you know what, why not get back into Amazing Race? And I loved everything about it. And when I watch Survivor, I always do the challenges with it if I can. And so for some of the challenges, I was like doing at home.
But did you whip out your steel drum? Did you whip it out and play?
Girl, I turned the trash can over and I was rolling it up and down my hallway trying to see if I could do it. And I'm like, I don't know why they don't just kick it, because I would kick it and then just, you know. But okay, so, because listen, I could talk all day about
it. I'll tell you, I don't know why they didn't. They looked hollow inside and I think there was enough room. First thing I would have done is thrown my backpack inside of it and just roll the whole thing down the hill. I don't understand.
That's why you the winner. Okay.
Maybe there wasn't room. I don't know.
Listen, Brooke, I would have got my whole body in the barrel. Okay.
Right. And just rolled down the hill.
And I would have just rolled down the street. So, yes. So I figured the way we can do it is we can just talk about each team and then we can go into like how they did and some things that we took away from it. So listen, I'm going to rely on you, the Amazing Race expert. So what's the tea? What's popping, Brooke?
So let's talk about how they start. They started the Hollywood Bowl. All very exciting. Empty. It must have been crazy to be the only people there. But they're on stage, which is something I've always wanted to be. And then you have that moment where Phil introduces some of the teams. They all size each other up. You have your football players. And Phil says, just because you're big and strong doesn't mean you're going to win this thing easily. So foreshadowing, which I always enjoy because they did not do so great this leg. But I'm glad they're in it because they're one of my favorites and we can go through that. And then he raises his eyebrow and he does this thing where I still cry at the beginning of every season when Phil says, you know, the world is waiting. Good luck. And go. And then, of course, I get the chills because I've had that moment of being out of body and having him say that to me. And it was, it's that moment. They all go running and then they head to Trinidad, which is so cool. And one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. And now I want to go there immediately.
Yes, I loved it. And it took me back to when I was on Survivor and, you know, I was on a beauty tribe and we got out the boat. And I remember like Jeff standing there and I felt like it was an out of body experience. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was like, oh, my God, am I really standing here? Do I really have these tight purple pants on? Is Jeff really talking? I was shaking. But I know that I would that adrenaline and running in me. And when they would have said go, I would have just dove off the stage like it was water and just started running. And so, yes, then they all got their book bags. They, you know, got the clue. Head
book
to the
bags.
LAX.
Okay. I love you.
And yes, I was just like, oh my God. And then they got in the car and they just, you know, really went off. And one thing that I had to say was when they were standing in that stadium that I took notice of, and you know, I was live tweeting, that I really could appreciate about this season of Amazing Race was the diversity of this cast.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So diverse. And you know me, I've been very vocal in the diversity campaign for Survivor, basically saying like, we don't want the standard quo. We want to see more people of color. We want to see more people that are like us. We want to see more LGBTQ representation. We want to see the spectrum. And I really feel like although this cast was 2 years ago, I really think they hit the nail on what a diverse cast can look like. So I just want to just put that out there because I was really excited to see so many people of color, so many different diversity, so many. I just was so excited to see that, yes, like, listen.
So many ethnic backgrounds and yes. So many, it's from different parts. I mean, it's great. I mean, I'm looking at my notes right now and I noticed when we were watching, but yeah, there's usually like a lot of white teams. There wasn't so much this time. And I love that. I think this is a really diverse cast. I think some of them are going to get, you know, an edit that might not be great. I already know, I think the one who's going to get the Brooke edit, which I feel for her. But I think that this cast is spot on. There's nobody here that I really was like, meh, I don't want to watch when they're on the screen. I think everyone's interesting. Everyone's exciting. And I'm excited to watch them. So this is going to be great.
Yes. So what's the first pair you got for us?
Okay. So where should we start? Should we start with how they finished?
I mean, yeah, or however you want to do it. If you want to start with how they finished, or girl, because listen, y'all, Brooke took about 7 pages of notes. So Brooke came rete to talk. So wherever your notes lead you, however, you know.
You know what? Brooke's a nerd. I'm a big nerd. I'm into that. I think we should start with the self-proclaimed nerdy team. There's a team, Leo and Alana. It's Alana,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
They fell in love on Tinder.
Okay. Listen.
I love this.
Listen, okay. Listen, I done downloaded the app of Tinder again, okay? Because not only am I looking for love, I'm looking for an amazing race partner. Okay?
Right? This is fantastic. They fell in love. They've been dating 10 months when the episode filmed. Now they're married. That's how long it took for this episode to air. They are now married and they are adorable. And I feel for them. I love them. I'm rooting for them. And I just, I'm for them. I hope they do really, really well. I was a mathlete. I'm a nerd. I root for the nerds. And I think nerds are cool. So I am really, really into them. And I like the fact that during their interview, they're like, look, call us a nerd. They don't need to know that we can run a mile. They don't need to know that we're physically fit. Let them underestimate us. And I like that. I like their game. I like the whole thing about them.
So did I. I thought that they did. They worked really well. I thought that, like, you know, he was cheering her on. She was cheering him on.
Yes.
I just loved them together. And yes, I love a good underdog story. So I thought that they were amazing. I thought that they were cute. And yeah, I really felt like, now maybe this was just me projecting, but I really felt like you could sense the newness of their love and just, you know, I don't know. I just still felt like they were in the honeymoon stages of their relationship. Love of my life. If you listening, okay. We going to be the same place, same time, same energy eluding when we make it to the Amazing Race, okay?
It's true. I mean, my season was all strangers, so it's a little bit different. But I think this proves you don't need to know someone for a long time to do well. I mean, they finished right in the middle. They were sixth, but they weren't on the first flight out of Trinidad. They never had a bad attitude. Leo's doing the roadblock. And Alana, the thing she says when he finishes, she goes, oh, he's so cute. You could tell that they're just into each other. And I liked how they built each other up. I'm into it. They could have had a really bad attitude because they were sort of toward the back, but they never did. And I really like that. And I hope they kick butt this season. I want to watch them for a long time.
Yes. And I loved what you said. They didn't make the first plane ride. But from what I remember about Amazing Race is that don't really mean anything. Like, you know, it's almost like, I want to say, being on the first plane can be like a placebo. It almost like builds you up to kind of like almost let you down. So I just feel like anyone and you can just use this in real life. Like, you may not be where you want to be, but as long as you get on a plane and as long as you get to that destination, you can still cross the finish line. So I was excited to see them play.
You should motivational speak. This is, you turn it into a life lesson. This is fantastic. As long as you get on the plane. I like that.
Yes, no, for sure. Because for me, this podcast is like therapy, Brooke. And I just always use anything that I watch or see, I apply it to my life. And I struggle with a lot of different things. And I feel like for my life, I've never been the one to be the first on the plane. I'm always, you know, just barely making a plane.
But you make the plane.
I make the plane.
That's right.
And I make the best of it. And I really feel like Leo and Alana really made the best of it. So I was excited to see them. Now, who else you got?
Who else was on that second plane? Let's see about the second plane. We got Kaylin and Haley. Oh. I feel like Kaylin and Haley, a little bit your typical blonde sisters. I feel like they're a staple for most seasons of The Amazing Race. You have those cutesy blonde girls. They've lived on their own, but they have a twist. They've lived on their own since they were 15. They're scrappy. And I think it's true. You didn't expect that. I looked at them before I started listening to the season and I was like, all right, you know, cheerleaders. No, these girls are scrappy. And I like that. I like their style. I like the fact that they are kind of no BS girls. Yeah. And, you know, they've had, sounds like not the easiest time. Who moves out at 15? Right. I wasn't mature enough to move out at 15. I don't know that I'm mature enough to live on my own now. But they did, and I like it. And Kaylin, I think, is the one who did the roadblock, and she struggled a bit. She was at the back. But again, I don't think the show showed anybody, maybe one, getting really frustrated. No partners were getting really mad at their partner for not doing well. And, you know, they didn't come in at the top. They came in eighth, but that's still respectable. I don't know if I necessarily see them making it all the way, but who am I to say? I'm sure nobody saw us making it all the way. So, you know, I might be very wrong. They may win the whole damn thing. I don't know.
I love what I love about Sisters on Amazing Race is that, like, you know, I feel like from the two or three seasons that I watch, I feel like they start off great. But the one thing that I always love about Sisters and like married couples is that mid-season, you see them cuss each other out like no one, like, you know what I mean? Like, no one can cuss you out like how your sister or your husband could cuss you out. So I'm really curious to see their dynamic, how it unfolds if and when they don't make it. Something happens that, you know, really frustrates one. So I'm really curious to see those girls. But I definitely thought they were cute. I definitely thought that they were energetic. And I definitely thought that they were fun. Yeah, when I was like, ooh, 15, you know, the social worker came out at me. And I was like, ooh, I wonder what their next story is. I wonder, like, why and how. And, you know, I'm really thinking in my mind, I was like, wow, if you can make it at 15,
right,
you can make it on The Amazing Race. You
right.
know what it means to dig deep. You know what it means to have your back against the wall. So I was like, oh, okay, I'm here for the sisters. So,
I agree. They weren't coddled. I get what you're saying. 100%. These girls are tough. They don't necessarily, you look at them right away, you wouldn't necessarily know they're tough. Hear them speak, they're tough. They may actually hang in there for a while.
So I'm excited to see.
Now, and I will say, nobody can cut you the way that your sister can cut you.
Okay.
Nobody can cut you the way that your sister can cut you. So, and I think maybe this pair of sisters may not be the sisters I worry about falling apart. I think there's another set of sisters that may actually come to blows at some point this season, but I am here for them. This is Victoria and Michelle, and I love them. The Cajun agents, as they call themselves.
Yeah, listen, let me tell you, first of all, yes, they were, okay, I loved Michelle and Victoria. They were one of my favorite people that I put a star next to because they reminded me of, like, they could be my friends. I feel like they're friends in my head. I loved when one of the sisters, I forget who did the roadblock. Was it Victoria?
It was Michelle, I think. Michelle's the one who's not the favorite child.
Right.
And as the not favorite child, I can relate to the not favorite. This is me and my brother. My little brother can do no wrong. He's the favorite child. It's fine. I'm over it. But I get where these two are coming from. Victoria's talking about when you open my parents' wallet, my picture's the only one in there. And Michelle's like, F this, man. Like, this has been my whole life. I feel for her. I like her. She's spunky. She's going to get my edit, I think. She may not get the best edit on the show, but that's okay. And I think I'm a big fan. She's doing the roadblock and she looks at the drummers and she goes, how's my hair and makeup? Yes. Come on. Come on. Who does it? She's funny. I like her.
And speaking from a favorite child's perspective, because you know, I myself proclaim my mom's favorite child, what I liked about them the most was when they got to the roadblock, there was the other Asian descent couple there. And they were like, oh, another Asian couple there. They're going to get it before us. Like, I love, like, yes, I like when people talk about, you know, the differences and the diversities and the commonality, especially when it's not just the standard quo. So I liked hearing that banter of them, like, being competitive, them being like, oh, my God, they're going to get it before us. Like, I don't know. I really liked their scrappiness. I really liked the fact that, yes, I feel like these are the sisters. Next episode, we want to see cussing each other out. But in the cussing of each other out that we love, like, I feel like I could be the referee between them. Like, I loved everything about them as well. I mean, I liked everybody for the most part.
But and Bryce, yeah, they were in second place. This girl's pissed off being in second place. What's she going to do when they're in ninth place? She's going to lose her mind. But that's cool. I can't wait to see it. I don't know if they'll ever, I don't think she'll ever allow them to be in ninth place. She got so hard on herself when they were in second place on the first leg. I don't know. I worry what happens when they fall to the back, because everyone falls to the back at some point, even if it's just for a little. But she's hilarious. She's talking about how maybe Chi took piano lessons and that's why he was better at the steel drum. Cut to him in the boat thanking his mom for the piano lessons. That's hilarious. The editing was good this episode. I give it to the editor.
Yes, yes. I loved the sisters. Sister. I'm going to call them in my head Tia and Tamara, okay? Like, I like them.
Nice.
Who else you got, Brookie Poo?
Who else do I got? I'm going to go to maybe, I don't want to say my favorite, but they're one of my favorites. I probably have two or three favorites. But let's talk about Hung and Chi, the husband and wife.
Yes!
The ones who came in first.
Yes!
Which I got to tell you, they're also, this is a little bit weird, but for my season, Scott and I were third to be shown in the theme song. And so I always sort of have like a little rooting for whoever's third to be shown in the theme song. It was Hung and Chi. And I looked at them and I go, I don't know, just to look at them right away. And they start racing. I love them. They're doing their honeymoon. They never got to do 10 years ago. And they are just, I mean, there's some things that I'm wagging my finger and going, no, read your clue. That's the number one rule on the race is read your clue. They get to that fish challenge when they fly to Tobago and they get to the fish challenge and he didn't pay attention to the colors on the fish. So he's just using the combination on every fish. Bryce, there were 125 fish. Do you know how many fish that he looked at? 56 fish. It was like the 56th fish or something where he finally, that must have taken forever. I don't know how they ended up first. And I want to say, you have to read your clue or you're going to end up at the back. Clearly, no. The people who didn't read their clue ended up at the top, but that's neither here nor there.
No, for sure. What I don't know. When I watched them, I always thought of like the tortoise and the hare. And I just thought like slow and steady wins the race. I don't think when I watched them, I didn't get first place from them. And I don't think that when they sized up the competition, I don't think that they got first place from themselves. Mm-mm. But I don't think, and I don't know, tell me if you got this from them, but I didn't necessarily get that they were like, we gonna come and win. They were like, we're just going to do what we do. I felt like they stayed in their lane and they really just kind of like methodically got through each leg, did what they had to do, and then they ended up at first. So I listen, and you know, third place is a special, third is, you know, rings special to me. Third boot, you know, third in the montage in the beginning. So I loved everything about them. I thought that they were extremely humble. I thought that they were so cute. I thought they worked well together. Now I was cracking up with the barrel. It seemed like the barrel was a little much for her, but you know, nevertheless, she kept pushing the barrel and they got to the party. And I just, I loved it. Everything about them was just like so positive and so like, we're just here to have a good time as a married couple. And
totally.
I really enjoyed watching them.
I gotta tell you, if I was on that first task on my season and we just didn't look at the colors on the fish, I would have lost my mind. They were just so supportive of each other. He goes into the roadblock, just very calmly playing the steel drum. I think he got it on his first try, if not his first, his second. Right. And they just, you didn't there was no up and down because they did some things that were pretty stupid. They did some things that were really fantastic. And my favorite part about them, as someone who is naturally clumsy, I mean, I grew up a dancer, so I have rhythm and I can definitely move and do things, but I fall over nothing. I mean, I fell on my season of the race more than once. They showed it at least once. I say there was a crack in the sidewalk. I don't think there was. I think I just tripped over my own 2 feet. I love her. I love her. Hung? I can't get over her. She might be my favorite. She's clumsy, which you know I can appreciate. She slipped onto the mat at the end. Right at the end, slips on the mat. And her first response when Phil jumps over and goes, "Are you okay?" is, "I'm on the mat." Like, okay, this is the best thing in the world. She's on the mat. Like, that. She was just so happy to be there. And I will say, I did speak to her after. This is the only thing to get a little backstory. I spoke to her after. I go, "This is the best line of the whole episode. I'm on the mat." She's like, "I didn't want the medics to come over and not count us having finished." Yes. So I just wanted to, you know, cry later. Get checked out later. I'm on the mat. And that's all that matters. So I like that. I want them to do phenomenally. I just like her attitude. They're so positive. And, you know, she's on the mat. Like, come on. Come on. That's amazing. They're great. They're just, they're so positive. I like that.
Them goats were strong, though. Okay, I was God. I don't know if a child. Listen, the goat would have pulled me the whole time. Okay?
Oh, me too. I would have just laid down at the beginning. I laid down, let it pull me. Yeah. That's fine. I'll get there. You could see Phil. It wasn't a mile run. That's cool.
Listen.
As long as you're on the mat.
I would have got on top of the goat, okay?
Exactly. Ride the goat, okay. Exactly. I don't think it said you couldn't ride the goat. It just said don't let go of the goat.
Okay, yes. So I love them. Who else?
I do too. Who else do I love? Who else do I love? Ooh, okay. Here's who I love. Will and James.
Ooh.
I love them and I'll tell you why. They're in love. I love love. You know me. Yeah. I'm a fan of love. But more than that, James is a super fan. Now, as someone who tried out for The Amazing Race, I tried out with 4 different people, but I tried out like 6 times total. I probably made 9 or 10 audition videos. He's tried out 9 times. At one point, my little brother and I flew to Houston for less than 24 hours to go to an open call in 102 degree heat just to be on The Amazing Race. And for him, he wanted to be on Survivor, but he thought that was his in to Survivor. So he was doing that with me to ultimately get on Survivor. Now, at this point, you know, I know people, but he's married and doesn't think he can go now. But that's neither here nor there. So James, super, super fan. I'm into him. I want him, like the super fan of me wants him to win this whole thing. Because I love when people who love the race and like eat, sleep, and breathe the race do well on the race. So I like that. I like it. They were the last ones on the first flight. So I like that they kept moving. I think it's a little bit funny the way they edited Will showing the clues falling out of his pockets. And he didn't seem to have like a ton of fire beneath him. But then they swapped it out. He nailed the roadblock. They did great, you know, with the fish. I think that was just one little moment to have a little laugh of, you know, get him moving a little bit, Will. But they did. Yes. And they really ended up doing great. They came in 4th, which is where I came in on the first leg. So I have a soft spot in my heart for starting at 4th, but I have a real soft spot in my heart for the love and the support that they showed each other and for a super fan coming in and being excited about it. I don't know if there are any more super fans here, but they made it known that James was one, and I love that.
Yes, and so I believe I had spoken with James because James is huge in the RHAP community. Mm-hmm. I love them. Okay, first of all, you ain't no secret here. I love the gays. I love the root for the gays, and I love gay love, and so I love just to see them, their snarkiness, their funniness together, and, you know, CBS had the nerve to put them in purple, so I was already screaming, like, come on, purple team!
Yes!
We got to go. And I forget when, I think when they were in the party in Tobago or
Trinidad. Yeah.
Trinidad. And when they got the clue, they was like, ooh, thank you, Jesus, the devil. And something they said, yes, I was screaming. I was like,
thank you, Lord Jesus, saved by the devil or something like that. That was fantastic. Yes. They're fantastic. I will say I'm a little worried, and I'll tell you why if you want to know.
So
I'm watching the preview for the rest of the season. You know, this coming season on The Amazing Race. I can't imagine this is the case because if James is such a super fan, there are a couple things all fans know before you get to go on the race. One of those things is you need to know how to drive a stick shift. And they showed, maybe they're just putting their voices over somebody else's, you know, fakakta driving. But they showed in the preview someone unable to drive a stick shift car, and I think it's Will's voice, but it's Will or James, and they're freaking out a little bit. I can't imagine it's them. Everyone, I mean, I'm a super fan. I took stick shift driving lessons. There are some things you have to know how to do. And as someone who tried out 9 times, I can't imagine he doesn't know how to do that. But we'll see. I hope it's not them. I hope it's really, you know, almost anybody else. But I would love for them to take it home. I love watching super fans do well on the show.
Yes. I don't know if I actually can drive a stick shift. I think I might need to actually take some stick shift lessons.
If you're going to go on the race, you need to take some lessons. You know, there's going to be a point in time where you have to drive a stick shift. You have to know how to swim. You have to know how to drive a stick shift. There are certain things that you learn to do before you go, or you just don't. I mean, don't go then. I mean, come on. Come on. Whoever it is, come on.
Just cancel it. I mean, I know clutch. I know the clutch. I could do. I mean, I know where the clutch at, but I don't know if I can, like, child, you hear the car. So I mean, listen, okay, let me put that on my board. Stick shift.
Learn to drive a stick shift. And I didn't know anyone who had one except my uncle, who had a very, very nice car. So I called him. I said, look, I need to come over. We need to practice driving. I messed up the transmission on his car so badly. Like, just, I probably owe him a lot of money. He's like, why are we doing this? I was like, can't tell you. Let's keep trying. Like, so I would practice running to the car, turning it on, going up a hill, stopping on a hill, and turning off the car. And then I would get out and run. He's like, what is wrong with you? And I was like, can't tell you. Let's keep going. Like, it was just... Then he figured it out after the fact and saw me on TV. And he's like, did you mess up the transmissions on those cars? And I was like, maybe, but it's cool. It's cool. They're not my car, so it's fine. And then when he saw I won, he was like, you want to fix the transmission on my car? Okay. And I was like, no, it's fine. Yeah, well, I can't hear you. I'm going through a tunnel. That's what I would say to him. It's fine. All right, who else do we have here? I have Jerry and Frank, father and son. I love a father and son team. Love. Go ahead. Tell me.
Listen, I love them from the get-go. Mm-hmm. Okay. Frank ain't that bad on the eyes. I cute. Love to see, you know, a black father and a black son. I think that that's something that we don't often see in positive lights
yes.
in the country. So I love the fact that, you know, they highlighted them. You know, Jerry had a lot to do in basketball mm-hmm. back in the day, so he wasn't around. And so I love the fact that they're using this as, like, father-son time. And they're competitive. So I just loved it. I thought it was so funny when they got to the fish challenge, and they were just so hyped to get on the fish. And then they, like, oh, wait, what's the... You think we need the combinations?
Read your clue. Yes. Come on. Read your clue. I can't. I can't with the people who don't read your clue. Any former racer will tell you it's good to be strong. It's good to be smart. The number one rule on The Amazing Race is read your clue. People go home for that. I will say, I worried a little that since Jerry's the father, Jerry was, you know, a basketball coach. I thought he might be a little tough on his son. They're, at least the way that they were edited, was so positive and so wonderful. And I think one of the funniest moments was when they were about to do the roadblock and they were deciding who was going to do it. And Frank's like, my dad has no rhythm. He can't do anything. And then his dad just starts to do, like, a little shoulder shimmy. Like, that's his go-to dance. Like, my dad has his own go-to dance where he just, like, bops his elbows out and it's hilarious. Oh. But that got me because I applied with my dad once. I like this whole father-son bonding experience because that's something they'll keep forever. So I hope that they stay around for a really long time. I like them. But read your clue. Come on.
Read the clue. But yes, I'm here for the father-son duo. I really love their energy. So I was excited to see them. I was like, yes, come on. Come on, melanin. Bless my screen. I was excited to see them.
I was too. Who's another team I was excited to see? Oh, okay. Kelly and LaVon.
Okay.
I know I'm jumping around and they finished toward the bottom. But if they had not stayed, I would have cried. I loved Kelly and LaVon.
Love them isn't the word. So I think it was LaVon. What was it? Was it? No, it was Kelly. Kelly is the one that did the roadblock, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I loved everything about Kelly. One, so they're Olympic. Okay. They are Olympic runners. So we saw that with the goat. Okay.
She outran the goat, Bryce. She outran the goat.
They both did. I was like, ooh, look at them go.
People getting dragged by the goat. They outran the goat.
They outran the goat. Goat was like, time out. Okay. The GOAT said time out. But the one thing that got me with Kelly was when they was the first challenge with the fish and they were a little behind. And she was like, ugh, I'm dyslexic. Mm-hmm. And I'm not. not good with numbers. And I am one that I really believe that I've never been tested, but I really believe I have dyslexia because whenever I, and that's why I always am like worried about going on The Amazing Race, because for me, when I have to read out loud and in front of people, I don't know what it is. I just get, well, I mean, I know where it's from. When I was like a child, this is the Purple Pants podcast. I go on a random story, so just go with
it. I like it. Go.
When I was younger, right, and it was around the time that I started getting teased for being gay. It was like fourth, fifth grade. And I remember it was like science class. And during science class, we have to go around and we were like reading the science book. And I remember during that time, like science, like, you know, environmental science, history, world civilization, they were all my favorite classes. And I'll never forget, we had Miss Willard, and she would make us go around and read the science book. And I remember when I would read, I could remember, like, people behind me would be, like, laughing. And I was like, ugh. But I always thought that, like, you know, like, oh my God, they're laughing at how I read. But I soon find out that they were laughing because they're like, you sound like a girl. And so from that point on, I always have, like, this, like, back. I know, horrible. But I mean, these are the things that I feel like make you who you are. Mm-hmm. And so I struggle with that. And even like all throughout high school, I would like when it would come to read, I would always just think back to Miss Willard's class. And so for my mind, I would put words that are not there because I would just like try to hurry up and get it done. Mm-hmm. So literally it could say like, you know, Brooke likes to run. Child, I would be like, Brooke eats calamari. Just because, and I really would feel like it's from my anxiety. But I just, I don't know whether or not if that is a form of dyslexia, but I just could relate to her so much, kind of like struggling with the numbers and not feeling like you are adequate enough. And for her to actually like speak about that on the Amazing Race, I just was like, yes, normalize dyslexia. Normalize what makes you different, because honestly, that is what truly makes you a star. And then when we saw her do the roadblock and she was like, oh, the numbers again. I was just like, oh, my heart was going for her.
My heart melted for her. Yes.
She didn't give up. She stayed with it. She the 3-5-3-5-5-8-9-3-5-5-8. Like, you know, she was getting it. And I was just like, when they crossed that finish line before the goats, I was literally on my bed screaming like, yes!
So happy.
I have to say, they probably is one of my favorites thus far, okay? Mm-hmm. So I loved everything about them.
So supportive of each other. I got to tell you, LaVon could have been, because Kelly's like, I've been putting in the wrong code for like 20 fish. And LaVon could have been like, oh, come on, we have to go back. No, so supportive. They never went, and maybe, I don't know, maybe they just didn't show it. I don't know. But they never once showed, look, as someone who every time I cried or something bad happened, they did show it. And I like to joke around that sometimes my happy was edited out of my season. So, you know, they choose your storyline, and it's cool. I didn't set everything that was done. I own it. I live it. I can laugh at all of it. That's fine. But they have, I mean, I don't know how long this leg took to shoot, but our first leg took like 40 hours.
Oh my God.
And they condensed it down for 11 teams of 40 minutes. So they showed, what, 5 minutes of us? So, you know, a lot of things happened that they don't show. But what they did show was LaVon was so supportive, never got mad they had to go back and do fish, never got mad that Kelly was struggling so hard on the drum. Like, and Bryce, you know, I was a musical theater major in college. So this leg is like, and I was a lifeguard. So I'm like, oh, swimming, music, you know, I love animals. I was like, this is the leg for Brooke. My first leg was, let's climb a whole F ton of stairs and row a canoe against professional racers in Panama. Like, okay, not things that Brooke would be great at, but this leg was so fun and so great. And I loved how LaVon was so supportive. And I will say, I'm not normally a fan of professional sports people or athletes or Olympians, because basically I'm jealous of their physical abilities that I don't have. But these two were just tops. They can't go home. They can't go home for a long time. Big fans. And I just, like, they had a never give up attitude. Even when you could tell Kelly was crying. You could tell she was crying during the roadblock. You could tell she was really, really getting upset for herself. And not because she wasn't good at it. Like, that's the difference. There were people who were getting upset because, oh, I should be good at this. She was getting upset because she literally has she's dyslexic. And so this has got to be so hard for her. And she just never gave up, even though she was getting really down on herself. And they can't go home. That's my feeling. Don't go home.
No.
Ever.
Nope.
Ever.
Nope.
Never. Exactly.
I'm here for them. And I I was screaming for them. I know my neighbors was like, what the hell is going on? But yes, I was here for the sisters.
Who else do we? Okay, so we have, let's see, third place. We have Madison and Riley, the beard brothers, the professional volleyball players. Okay, they seem like good, competent racers. You know, they did fine with the fish. They did fine at the roadblock. They didn't make a ton of an impression on me, but that's probably because they just didn't have a ton of airtime, and they'll get more as the season goes on.
Yes, I thought the same thing. When I was like preparing for this, I wrote a question mark with them. I'm like, all I remember is the beard. I remember them like talking about the beard. So I don't really have much to say about them, but yeah. I mean, I like their beard. If they, you know, they need some beard oil, I could give them some. But yeah, I loved it. And they looked kind of cute in their little volleyball uniforms. That's mm-hmm, what I remember. Mm-hmm. But
they talked about overpacking. They definitely over. I mean, they're big dudes, and their backpacks looked big on them. So they have clearly overpacked. I'm wondering how much stuff they're going to give away or discard like during the course of the race, because they're carrying way too much weight. But I just wrote, you know, they're fine. They're fine. Yes. They're fine. I mean, yeah, maybe they'll do some really exciting stuff. Yes. I don't think they did anything really exciting. I don't think they did anything really stupid. They read their clues. They got on the first flight. Madison did the roadblock in 3 tries. Very middle of the, they're fine. They're right. Fine.
And they're in a good place. They're fine. They're in a great position to win. They're in a great position to lose. So
right.
I don't know.
They're fine.
I need more character development from them. But again, we don't know how long it took for this first leg, and it's condensed to like literally like 53 minutes. So
right.
I completely get it.
Who they're fine. Got?
Yeah. I like the fact that our notes like are like, the
so just,
like
they're fine. That's right. Fine. All right. I'm going to talk about a team, and they're also, they're probably lovely people. But they did some stuff that I just, as a racer, cannot get behind. Okay. All right. And if I mispronounce anyone's name, I apologize. But Eswar and Apana, is that, am I saying it right? I might not be. And if you're listening, I'm sorry. I don't mean to mispronounce. So for that, I apologize.
Let me just say my,
please.
I thought they were cute. I thought they were a bit quirky. So I love them. At times watching, I'm like, what the hell are they doing?
Shaking my head, Bryce. I'm shaking my head.
But I feel like they had a go. Well, I don't know. I felt like at some points in time, they did have a defeated attitude. But I don't know. I still kind of like them.
I'm still like, shaking my head. You can't say I'm shaking my head. I say this with love. As someone, I applied with my brother at one point. They told you I went to Houston. I... Yes. Maybe it's a little bit
girl,
of... They were supportive.
Who did you
Nobody.
Not apply with, girl?
Nobody.
Like, I didn't heard the dog. I didn't heard your dad. I didn't heard mm-hmm. your brother. Mm-hmm. Girl, we're going to have, we gonna have to talk
Two
about
Two of my thing. Best friends, a sorority sister. I didn't apply with my mom. That's the one person I didn't apply with. But I will say this. So, okay. She started... Can we curse on this? I won't curse.
Yes,
Okay, so the first thing she says is, in her little package, that they're really fucking smart. That's how she starts. Basically, she's talking and she goes, basically, we're really fucking smart. Maybe, sure. Okay, there's book smart. But then they go on to do some really fucking dumb things. So, okay, they're the last on the second flight, which is fine. It's because they did something just stupid. They get out of their cab too early. Everyone's rolling these oil drums down the road and they're like, we'll run the rest of the way. That's fine. So they get out of their cab way too early. That's not a deal breaker. It's not the end of the world, but it's not really fucking smart. And then... She says, you know, maybe we don't want to be at the front. All the people at the front, maybe they trip over each other. Maybe we want to be at the back. I mean, no, you don't. You don't want to be at the back. I'll tell you one thing on the Amazing Race. You never want to be at the back. So, okay, fine. That's fine. That's fine. He's saying things to make themselves feel good. I mean, long story short, they're on the second plane. That's fine. And then... I mean, he does fine on the roadblock. They do. I don't think they show them doing the fish task. I'm not sure if they show them or not. I don't remember. I didn't write anything about it. But I shook my head a lot. And I like a brother-sister team because I think I would have had a lot of fun going on with my brother. We would have murdered each other. But maybe they'll do better next time. And if they do, I'll be there for that. I will be supportive of a brother-sister team. But I do feel when you say I'm really fucking smart, like... Do things that are really fucking smart. It's fine.
So, two things. I think, one, you know, I think that the Amazing Race is really good at highlighting that, yes, you can be book smart, but it don't always equate to street smart, okay? So, that's one. And two, here's why I like them, okay? bitch, be your biggest cheerleader. Okay?
That's true. Listen, that's true. So okay.
I'm here for it. I'm here for be your biggest cheerleader, even if, you know, the edit comes out that maybe you're not that fucking smart. But I love people that say stuff and then their edit proves them to be like, well, girl, what are you really smart at? But I thought that they were kind of quirky. And I don't know when, okay, now mind you, you know me, my mind always goes somewhere else. But I think we did get to see them during the fish challenge because I remember saying Eswar, ooh, Eswar got a little body on him. Okay, Eswar, listen. Okay.
I love you so much. I love you so much. And I will say, I don't want to say all negative things. It wasn't all negative. It wasn't. They were very supportive. They never got mad. They got out of the cab too early. His choice. She never got upset about it. They were last on the second flight. Now, they did show them like walking away from the carnival, like rather than dancing and having fun. That might have just been when everyone was walking away, but that's what they showed for them too. Like, it wasn't like they were dancing and partying with everybody else, but maybe they were and they just didn't show it. So it might just be the way that it looked, but I like that they didn't get mad at each other. And you know, they're probably geniuses. They're probably incredibly book smart. And they just did a couple of, you know, silly things on episode one. Maybe they'll do less silly things on episode two. So hopefully they do well.
I put a star next to their name. Okay.
So. It's because you think he's cute.
I mean, listen, call me. Okay.
Oh my God, I love you.
I'm really smart too.
You are really smart, actually. Okay. We have two teams left. I don't know where to go for, you know what? D'Angelo and Gary. Oh. I put a star next to them. I am here for D'Angelo. He is hilarious. I think I watched the things he said multiple times. I've rewound. I'm like, this is hilarious. Talking about how Gary can't carry a tune in a bucket. Like, this is, they're good. You could tell if anyone got frustrated during the roadblock, it was D'Angelo because he says he should have done it. But all right, let me start from the beginning. They cosplay. They go to Comic-Con and these outfits, costumes, I don't want to call them outfits. It's fantastic. I feel like that's a little bit nerdy, and I'm all for nerdy jocks. I think this is awesome. Yeah. I love their dynamic. They're brothers from another mother. Like, they're great. They are great.
I love them. I also felt like if I were to ever play Amazing Race, the one person that comes to my mind that I will play with, go figure, is Wendell. And I felt you know, believe it or not. And I felt like they, Gary and D'Angelo, I don't know why when I say D'Angelo, I want to be like, how does it feel? Do you know that reference?
I do.
Oh, okay, listen. Now, mind you, another random thing. D'Angelo came to Philly like 2 years ago, back when concerts were a thing. And he was singing How Does It Feel? And I had I was kind of close to the stage. And mind you, I had a couple cocktails in me. And he was singing How Does It Feel? And I was sitting next to like these elderly...
I don't know where the story is going, but I'm excited. I'm just going to sit back. Go.
Well, it's funny. So, and I was like with my friend, Sarah, and he was singing it. And I was like, and again, I had a couple margaritas in me. And when that song came on, I was like, take the shirt off! And so mind you, he did take the shirt off. But baby, D'Angelo missed a couple ab classes, you know, missed the cardio. And baby, it looked like D'Angelo might have been like 4 months pregnant. And mind you, again, I had the margaritas in my system. And then I was like, put the shirt back on! And these, like, I swear it was like a church bingo group of like these older black women that were sitting next to us. They were cracking up when I was like, put the shirt back on.
That's amazing.
But I love their friendship. I love that they are the most opposite people, but they're like, we're exactly the same. And I saw myself with Wendell a lot. And I'm like, oh my God, me and Wendell need to play the Amazing Race. But see, I don't know.
You guys would be fantastic
too. Girl, they would have to bleep me out everything. Because I would be like, bitch, what are you doing? And let Wendell forget a combination for the fish. I would be in the water fighting him. So like, I don't know whether or not we would be a good duo. But I really like their energy. I did like the fact that I think it was Gary. Who did the roadblock?
Gary.
I like the fact that D'Angelo was upset at Gary, let Gary know that he was upset at him. Because, yeah, sometimes it's like, you don't always need to be supportive. If somebody messed up, let them know, okay?
I hear that.
Mm-hmm. I definitely felt like in that I was Gary and Wendell was D'Angelo. Because if I messed up, Wendell would gladly let me know about myself. But I did like their enthusiasm. I was like, ugh, former NFL players. Like, mm-hmm. I sometimes feel that way. Like, I don't want to see professional. For me, because, you know, listen, I'm very middle class. You know, I live paycheck to paycheck. You know, I went to school. I got student loans. So for me, I don't like people that like have a lot of money in these reality shows. I like real people with real bills to like play and to have a chance at winning. So that was like a strike against them for me. But their personalities definitely made up for that. And so I definitely want to see them go far because I want to see their banter back and forth. I want to see D'Angelo scream at Gary. I want to see Gary, like, I don't know. I just want to see it all. And I just want to be singing. How does it feel?
I hear that. Let me tell you one thing, though. Here's the one thing I don't understand. They were doing great. They did fine with the fish. They did great with the oil drum and then the roadblock and Gary. I feel for Gary. It was a little bit of like schadenfreude. Like I felt a little bit, not joy. I didn't feel joy. I don't want anyone to suffer.
It was hard to watch.
It was a little hard to watch, but it was the foreshadowing. Phil said, you know, just because you're big and strong and then you see him struggle. The one thing I don't understand is apparently D'Angelo thought Gary should do this roadblock because it said like, who's ready to steal the show? And steal was spelled like, you know, the metal. And so he thought Gary should do it. D'Angelo is a big dude. Like, if he thought it could be anything other than, you know, lifting oil drums, why didn't he do it? Like, right. It's not like he's a wimp. He's tiny. He's still right. Huge. And this is funny to me because on my season, I don't know if you remember, I had this moment where I had to build a ladle. Bryce, it was physically the hardest day I've ever had in my one of the hardest days I've ever had in my life. And our roadblock clue was who's into heavy metal. And Scott seemed to think, he's like, well, what if it's musical? You're musical. I'm not musical. Maybe it's a music thing. Now, looking back on it, we were at a metal workshop. So like, duh, it's not a music thing. But I was like, okay. And then once you say you're going to do it, you can't switch. There's no switching. It's the it's the rule. No matter, like, it, you know, I could have been a professional steel drummer. Right. And it doesn't matter. You can't switch. So once he had to do it, he had to do it. I felt for Gary as someone who had a moment where they went to a roadblock where, and that mine was just brute strength. I'm not strong. It's just, I'm not weak, but I'm not strong enough to do that. Well, it took me hours. So I felt for Gary and I felt for them even more because then they finish it. And they get in a boat that has one engine when everybody else's boats have two engines. And they're in their boat. They got to be, 450 pounds between the two of them, maybe more, in one engine boat. They're being passed up by other people. I'm like, they're going home. Like, it was close. It was close.
I also was thinking, like, I mean, and I know as it's definitely different as a viewer, but for me as a viewer, I'm like, D'Angelo, now you know you got all the rhythm in that duo. Why are you Gary up there?
He says he didn't think it was drums. He thought they lifted oil drums. Maybe it was something strength wise. But still, you're strong, and I'm a victim. We call them race blinders. We don't think about what's going on around us. I mean, I can't imagine they couldn't hear the steel drum music. But okay. Maybe you just don't think. You don't think. I get that. I get. There were so many times where Scott was afraid of heights and there was literally a heights challenge going on in front of us and we just didn't look up. And so we're like, he'll do it. Like, you just don't think sometimes. And that'll go away. It'll get better. They're going to be great. D'Angelo is going to be hilarious to watch and I'm excited. It's going to be good. And then Nathan and Cody. The noodlers.
First of all, I love them. Okay. I loved, wait, so I think it was Nathan that did the roadblock. And I saw myself in Nathan because I loved the fact that he was giving everybody a compliment. Like, oh, you're so nice. Oh, you're so pretty. Oh,
You may have it right. I have Cody, but I might be wrong. So I'm going to go with you because I'm not 100% sure. So whoever did the roadblock, yes. You know, you're so pretty, you're so sweet, you're so I liked it. Positive attitude.
I like the positive attitude, but I'm going to need you. I mean, I wish they had a little more fire up under them, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I felt like that was missing. But I felt like they were having a good time. And so for me as a viewer, I'm like, okay, if you're having a good time, at least like I can have a good time with you. But baby boys, where is your fire? Like, you know, somebody need to get the gasoline and light it on fire. But I was sad to see them go. But I thought that they were just interesting to watch. And I thought they took it with stride. What was your thoughts on that?
I mean, I thought so too. At the end, one carried the other off into the sunset. That's sweet. Their friendship will not suffer from this. But, you know, and they were on the first flight. So you think you're going to be fine. They had a little cushion. And they're clearly strong people. You saw from their pack. They catch catfish with their hands by sticking their hands into holes. It feels like getting bitten by a pit bull with no teeth. Like, who volunteers to do that? Girl, I don't know.
You know me well enough. I ain't sticking my hand in nobody's cat. Okay, listen. You can't catfish.
I don't need to fish that badly, but I liked that they were supportive. I Cody, Nathan, whoever did the robot struggled so much, and it was so just positive. so hard to watch, but still so positive. But then they sort of like, they didn't seem that they were running to their boat. I mean, you think they did say the money is not what we're here for. We're here for the experience, but you got to not come in last to continue the experience. I mean, you still got to hustle. I actually thought it was going to be a non-elimination leg, Bryce. They have never, in Amazing Race, US at least, I haven't seen the other franchises, but in the United States Amazing Race, they've never once done a keep racing leg that was an elimination leg. So I, when they said you're still racing, I was like, okay, leg one's not elimination. They're going to let them stick around for two legs. So, and then to see them get to the finish line and be like, you're going home. I was shocked and saddened. I thought, cause normally there's three non-elimination legs. And so two of them are just, you know, you have to do a speed bump in the next leg, an extra task. And the third one is usually just, you're still racing. This doesn't count as a pit stop. So you're good. So when he said, you know, you're going to Colombia, I think next, I was like, okay, fine. There's this leg's a little different. There was no detour and it was a keep racing. So I figure everyone keeps going. No, they sent them home. Ah, and that made me sad. I would have been happy to have everyone go on. I liked Cody and Nathan. They were, you know, I liked them. They were down home, good people who I think deserve to travel a little bit more. I don't know if they've ever traveled a lot. I wanted them to see more of the world.
So did I. I mean, no shade, and this ain't no shade, but y'all, the volleyball brothers could have went home, and I would have been happy with Nick.
They're fine.
And
they're
Cody
fine
staying. But I was excited, and I was just excited to watch it, just kind of like brightened up my Wednesday a little bit. And I haven't, again, I can't say this enough. I haven't watched Amazing Race in a really long time.
But except for season 29.
Uh-huh. Except for season 29, you better know. But I loved that this episode, only an hour for the premiere, but it was jam-packed. I needed my inhaler watching this. I was like, oh my God, so much is going on. And I was just so happy that I was like, ooh, you know what? Let me ask Brooke if she watches so we could talk about this. So yes, I loved it. I thought it was great. I was sad to see the Catfish brothers go home. Maybe they can get some more catfish and have a good time. But what I even loved more about this was getting to talk with you, Amazing Race.
I love you so much. I mean,
I'm gonna do this live. So girl, can we count on you next week to do a little chit and a little chat of the Amazing Race? Okay.
Bryce, I will be here anytime you want me. This makes me so happy to talk to you. It makes me happy to talk to you about a subject that I love so much. And I will do this. Take me for the whole season. I will go through all of them if you want. I'm into it. I'm jumping the gun.
Okay, listen, you very smart. Okay, come on, jump the gun. So yes, thank you so much, Brooke. But before you go, if any of the listeners want to follow you and they think that you are amazing like I do, where can they catch you? Where can they catch you on the Insta? Where can they catch you on the Twitter? What's the tea, bro?
It's all the same. And this was from a long time ago. So I'm not narcissistic, but it's at The Real B Camhi, CAMHI on Twitter, on the Instagram. That's the only things I'm on. On the two things. On Facebook. Come say hi. I love talking with people about this stuff. And I'm excited to talk to you again next week about Colombia.
Yes. I'm excited because I've been. So I love places that I've been and I can see on TV. But yes, I'm excited. And I will chat with you next week.
I love it. Thanks for having me. This was super fun.
Girl, I'm honored. Thank you.
Well, I'm excited to have been on the Purple Pants podcast for the first time. And I'm excited to come back next time.
Yes.
Ring the bell.
Keeping the menu rolling. It's the casual tea with I'm on a beat. Hey, 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 hey. Let me do my two-step. Oh, because it's the casual tea with I'm on a beat. Oh, I need my inhaler. Hold on. Wait, I wasn't ready for that last part. What's going on?
Oh, you know, just out here in these BB streets trying to keep my shit together. But you know what it is. You know what it is. It's been some stuff. It's been some stuff. Not the most interesting stuff, but it's been some stuff nonetheless. Happy to be back.
Okay. I mean, you don't seem too happy to be back. But I mean, I'm always here for the casual tea when I'm on a beat. But
hey,
I mean,
hey, hey,
Okay. Oh. I'm dirty wine with it. Oh. Okay. Okay. Sorry. I had coffee this morning, so you know you're gonna have to just go with me. I already told you about my weekend, so
I feel like I got updated this week. Like y'all, I mean, we talked about it off the show, but Bryce has been through it this weekend. So listen, you know, through it all, he is here with you guys.
I am here. Okay. Still feeling amazing, okay? So listen, ain't nobody gonna steal my joy. But so I don't know, the way you started this intro, you might about to steal my joy, okay? What's the tea? We know that Tyler went home.
Yes, so Tyler went home.
Let me you be the teacher real quick. Let me see if I'm doing my report, like is this the report card? So if Tyler went home, that means Halloween is still in, that means Enzo is still in, that means Coco Caliente is still in, and that means Cody is still in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
You're missing one more.
Oh, who else is still in?
Memphis.
Oh, darn it.
Yeah, I mean, he's easy to forget. He's boring. I tweeted about him being boring the other day, and people were like, no, he's not. I'm like, yes, he is. And you forgetting that he was there just proves my theory. Memphis, Halloween.
Listen, don't bring that Twitter smoke over here, okay?
You're right. You have nothing to do with that.
Don't be in his mentions.
If you got something to say it to me. I was the one. Bring it all to me.
I just honestly forgot about him.
I'm serious. Like, he's just been such a low-key person this whole time.
Has low-keyism helped him get this far?
Yes,
that's good then, right?
It has. Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, from a game standpoint, he has been able to, because he's been one of the more instrumental people in, like, you know, getting the alliance together. Like, he's the person that put the committee together in the first place.
So okay,
in
that respect, take it back.
In that respect, he is definitely playing a very good game socially, because he's just been able to sink into the cracks and not, you know, have to do anything when it comes down to it. Tyler, before Tyler left, he said, it's not going to be good for any of your games if you guys get rid of me now. So, you know, might want to think about keeping me in for one more week. And in Memphis's case, it definitely was more... It definitely would have helped Memphis a lot more, because we already know that Cody, Enzo, and Nicole are locked in. Cody is locked in with Enzo. Cody is not locked in with Nicole. That three over there, they are the alliance within the alliance. So yes, they really should have maybe gotten rid of Christmas instead of Tyler, because Tyler would have at least been able to be a person that was really, really good at comps to help Memphis out. Because who's the next target now? Freaking Memphis. Memphis is the next target. Nicole wins HOH.
Oh, so she really is. Okay. All right. Let me just, okay, hold on. Wait. Let me be the pupil, and you be the, I don't know, I guess the
professor.
Okay. You better come on, Professor Ahmad and pupil Isaiah. Okay. Now let me just be the astute pupil of this. Now, here's what I will say. I was Coco Caliente. Like, when the cast came out, I was Coco Caliente. Like, you know, I like Nicole. However, as the season went on, I, as a player, was not really feeling her, because I just felt like, I mean, I guess, which was good for her game, was not necessarily good for the people that I was rooting for and for the diversity of Big Brother. However, this, and I mean, you've been saying this all along, is that, like, she turns it on at the end. I mean, and not for nothing, if she's winning HOH, and I know that you were saying last week that it might be Cody, but I mean, this, in my opinion, is resume making stuff for her to be continually be winning this type of stuff, correct or wrong?
Wait, so what was the question? I'm sorry, I missed the last bit of that.
Come on, Professor!
I'm sorry.
What I'm saying is that, I mean, last time we were talking, I was saying that, and we both were agreeing that, like, she's been playing such a low-key game and just, like, really riding the coattail of, like, who she is, and riding the fact that she can kind of just go, like, persuade people. But I'm actually maybe changing my tune in the sense of, like, this is, like, the second time that she's won at HOH at such crucial points. I'm asking, is that building her resume? Like, could this maybe sway people in the jewelry house? Yeah. Like, wow, look at her really pulling this in. Or is it, like JoJo said, it's a little too... I can't even think of the song.
Too little too... Too late.
Yes.
And I can't wait.
Okay. Oh, come on, Alto.
Yeah, it's a debate back and forth. It's definitely a live conversation as we speak. Me personally.
Yeah, that's what I want. I know.
I feel like no.
I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
I just feel like her game, watching Nicole and her evolution in the game with Big Brother has been quite interesting. I think that she is such a character that we're not used to. She's such a polarizing person when it comes to this game. You either love her or you hate her. I personally believe that her BB18 game was much stronger than her BB22 game. Now, I understand that she was one of two winners coming into the season, so that's going to affect the way that she plays. She feels like she has to be a lot gun shy. She feels like she has to, you know, be undercover most of the time because she doesn't want to put herself out there because she's a winner. I mean, she has a target on her back that other people in the game do not. I get it. But at the same time, I just feel like her game has been so, it's just like too low key. Like you want to show that you are still in the background controlling things, but that's not the case. Cody has been the one that has been like in control most of this game. And when it came to the week that Ian was on the block, Nicole tried, and she tried to keep Ian in the house, but she ultimately failed. So even in the background, when she's trying to do things, it doesn't work out in her way. And she also came so close to being evicted last week. And yes, she survived. But I just feel like in terms of stability, in terms of consistency, her BB18 game was much stronger than her BB22 game. So even if she were to turn it on at the end like she's doing now, to me that doesn't really speak any volumes because there's only so many people left in the house anyway, so it's easier for you to win HOH by math alone. You know what I mean? So
right.
And she got this HOH by the skin of her teeth because Christmas was so close to, because the HOH competition was this comp where you had to walk across this teeter-totter, place all these balls on the one end of the teeter-totter, then walk across without knocking any of the balls out of the shovel, and Christmas had one more ball left, and she screwed it up. If Christmas had not screwed that up, Nicole wouldn't have even won this HOH. So I just feel like her game has been so close to call for so many weeks at a time that I just don't believe that this is her time. Even if he turns it on at the end, even if she wins, the only way that Nicole could win right now is if she gets to the end and cuts Cody. That is the only way.
Well, she's sitting there
with Cody. That's it.
Well, I agree. I feel like she needs to get with Halloween. She needs to get with Enzo, and they need to get Cody out. Because at this point, I'm talking to the almanac, but I feel like I would respect her. Now, now let me ask you another question. How do you think that this would fare in the BB community? If she gets to the end with Cody and loses, or she tries to take Cody out but fails. Like, I feel like the trying to take Cody out, failing Nicole would be more received than her getting to the end and losing to Cody.
I think that there's definitely a lot of Nicole supporters out there that will say that that's crazy. I cannot believe that y'all let a winner get to the end and you didn't vote for her. But I honestly feel like it won't be that bad if she were to lose because it's established that Cody has been so good this entire season. He has comp wins. He's almost broken the record for the single most amount of comp wins.
So why don't they take him out? Who wants to sit next to him? This is what I'm understanding. I don't understand why all of these other people right now don't say, okay, listen, we can disagree to disagree, but listen, at least we...
Bryce, it's insane. Cody has not... Nicole, she won HOH. She put up Christmas in Memphis. Memphis is the intended target because they think that he is better at comps. They end up sending Memphis out of the door. Memphis goes, he loses the veto. Nicole also wins POV. She sweeps the week. Memphis is out the door. So now we have the final four: Christmas, Enzo, Nicole, and Cody. Cody and Enzo have not touched the block the entire season.
But yet, just so I'm clear, because I just, you know, but yet, is the statistics not that every minority person that has played this season has been on the block more than once?
I think Bailey was on the block once, and that was the time that she went out. So yeah, if they were on the block, they were either gone or they end up on the block again. Yes.
Okay. Just want to, you know, I'm just trying to be an astute.
I hear you. Those are good notes to take. It's good. And I tweeted about this a couple weeks back, and I was like, I think we talked about it on the show too. I was like, it must be nice for Cody and Enzo to be Italian blood to the end,
right? And I'm not taking away anything from them. I'm just drawing a point as me, as a person of color that watches the show and just can see, like, you know. But people always say that, like, privilege doesn't exist. Well, I mean,
they have not touched the block, not once, and. It has to do with a lot of the... it has to do with them being in the committee, first and foremost. It has to do with them also
but
being
that is true.
Loyal to
but
each I, other I, and Cody winning all these comps. But yeah, I mean, that it's...
But I just also want to think that, like, people like Devon, that they're like, oh, we can't trust her. You know, she's too sketchy. But child, has Cody not been lying to people?
Exactly.
Has Cody not been... Is Cody the most trustworthy person? I just want to draw those contrasts to say that, like, okay, like, these are the things that you're saying about Devon. But actually have not been all the way true, because she actually did try to play it up front and get, like, you know, but look at Cody, the mastermind, the puppet master. And yeah, he ain't even been on the block, but I'm just saying.
No, it's great. It's so insane. And, you know, Cody was, there was a moment in time during this week, where Memphis came to Cody and essentially campaigned to him, saying, like, yeah, like, we gotta get Christmas up out of here because, you know, this, that, and the third, da 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 da. And Cody says to the DR, he tells us, like, well, Memphis, I know that you have been creating these wise guys alliances. One of them was without me, one of them was with Christmas. So I'm, like, decades ahead of you in this game. Like, I'm way ahead of, like, I get what's going on. Like, you're definitely out of here. Like, I can't believe you're trying to lie to me. And it's like, Cody, you're doing the same thing. And it's like, I get it. It's Big Brother. So obviously, whenever you catch somebody else in a lie, you're going to make yourself look innocent. I get it. But it's just like, it's just insane to me that Cody has not been, like, a target for anyone, because of that. But for sheer fact of the matter that he's never been put on the block, it's just so insane to me. And there, I mean, the only person that wanted to go after Cody that I remember pretty much is Devon. And I thought there was a moment in time that this game could have shifted in that direction, because Devon had told that to Enzo, and Enzo and Cody are height, okay? Devon says to Enzo, I don't trust Cody. I think we need to worry about getting Cody up out of here soon. And Enzo does not tell Cody that. So for a week or 2 weeks at a time, I'm sitting here thinking, oh my God, Enzo might actually flip. But no, Enzo is just, he just takes all this information and he uses it only when he needs to. He mirrors everybody else's behavior. He tells you exactly what you want to hear. Like, he has just been
I think I need to study Enzo. and he made Final Four.
But the thing is, Bryce, like, he made Final Three in his original season. He placed
third,
and it's gonna happen again.
Hold on, let me just write this down. Listen, if I ever play any type of game again, I need to study Enzo.
Feel free. I think if you're going to study Enzo, you have to understand what he is doing wrong, and that he is not really taking any credit for any moves. Even during the goodbye messages for Memphis, Cody copped to it. He was like, look, you're a good player. I didn't want to go up against you in the end. You got to go. I'm sorry. And Memphis is like, yeah, cool game. I respect it. Enzo, on the other hand, is like, sorry, I tried to keep you in the house, but the other people, they just weren't having it. They weren't having it, man. It was all their fault. And it's like, Enzo, you're not, like, at the end of the game, like, they're going to be sitting here thinking, okay, well, then what did you do? What did you do this season? Because if Cody is the one telling me that he was the one responsible for me going home, then what were you doing? Like, Enzo is just, he's telling everybody what they want to hear, but in the same breath, he's not claiming any moves of his own. So, like, he's going to get to the end, and even if he were to get the final two, he's not going to win, because no one respects his game. So study it if you want to, but also know that, you know, you have to do something else. You have to.
Okay.
But, you know, he's going to make it to the final three at least, because Enzo has won the last final four HOH. So
listen, I was third out. Okay. So making it final three, it's like, you know, that's practically winning for me. So I'm just saying.
No, I hear you. But yeah, so Enzo's HOH. Obviously, the next target is Christmas, because, I mean, he has something with Nicole. He has something with Cody. The HOH competition was sort of like a chess game. Only three people were in it, because, of course, Nicole couldn't play because she just won. So you got Memphis, you got Enzo, you got Christmas, and you got Cody. It was sort of like a chess game where you could only move a certain way. I think you could only move, like, in an L shape, and every square that you landed on then becomes unavailable, so you flip it over and it turns black, and then no one can go on that square anymore. So we haven't seen it yet. We'll see it on tonight's episode because Big Brother's now on Monday nights. I believe what happened was Christmas obviously was going after Cody because she wants him out. And both Enzo and Cody were going after Christmas. So that really meant that Cody was going to be screwed because no one's going after Enzo. So Enzo was able to pull out the win. But since it's Final Four, the only competition that really matters is Vito, because now that there's four people, there's two nominees, there's an HOH, there's only one vote. Whoever wins the veto is the sole person with the vote to evict this week. So it really comes down to the veto. Enzo wins, HOH, he puts up Nicole and Christmas. Obviously, Nicole doesn't feel that much need to campaign because, like I said, the three of them have been together. So Christmas knows that this is do or die. She either wins this veto or she goes home. She tries to do a little bit of campaigning to no avail. But she they compete in the comp. Cody has won the power of veto. So Nicole, Cody, Enzo will be our final three. Cody will be the sole person to evict.
So has Christmas gone home yet?
She has not gone home. She will go home on Thursday.
But we don't know that, though. Like, I mean, Cody could flip against Nicole, like his biggest competition, though. Like, that could happen, though, right?
It could happen. It could happen. And people were playing optimally. It could happen.
But... yes.
I'm just saying.
I can't take your shades and say the casual tea is pouring today.
It's so because it's so frustrating to watch.
But I mean, and not for nothing, if Cody were to take Nicole out, first of all, I'm already rooting for Cody just because, I mean, through this casualty, I feel like he's done enough. But I feel like if he took Nicole out, I would be like, ooh, bitch, you deserve it. Deserve it. Like, I why bring Nicole with you? She's your biggest competition right now.
Yeah. I mean, I why do anything that is going to make you getting the win harder? I agree. I also feel like if you do want to do, because they have a really, really tight pregame bond. Like we've known this. I mean, I think they were on the feed last week talking about how their moms were talking to each other like before the season started. So the both of them have had this pre-established connection going into the game. I feel like they would never want to cut one another because they would never like forgive one
another. But I mean, at this point, it's Final Four. So, like you've made it far enough.
I understand that, but at the same time, it's like get rid of her. Get rid of her. Just do it. Just get rid of her. Like that. Like you're already going to win, Cody. But that would be like the last thing that you need to check off your list.
Right. To say that you took her out.
You already have not touched the block. Getting rid of Nicole will just seal your fate if you take her out. On the other hand, on the flip side, I could totally understand bringing Nicole to the final two and making that your biggest flex. Saying I was not afraid to take a former winner to the final two with me because that's how good of a game I played this season. I have never touched the block once. I have won I've broken the record for almost the most amount of competition wins in a single season. I have good relationships with almost all of you, with the exception of Kevin. If he sells it correctly, I think that bringing Nicole to the final two is like the ultimate flex ending. I do.
Now ask you a question.
But if he does you gotta sell it.
Do you work for the Cody campaign? Are you a speechwriter for the Cody campaign? Because that sounded good.
I'm basically trying to put lipstick on a pig right now. Like I'm just trying to make this season.
Okay, you know what? Okay, am I? We're going to see you next week because you are hot like fire. Missy Elliott got a song. I think it's hot like fire too. Okay. That's it. We done. Okay. Because that's it. Next week. Can we count on you next week? Because listen, and I want this same energy because.
I got you. I mean, I feel like things won't be changing next week. I'll be right here saying the same stuff because we know Christmas is going to go home on Thursday, and it really just comes down to whoever wins this final HOH. That's the last bit of drama that we have. Is like maybe Cody or Nicole wins the final HOH. Maybe one considers getting rid of the other. Maybe, but you know, it's not looking like it's going to happen.
Well, you know, I'll be here. I'll be an astute pupil looking for Professor Ahmad to bring the casualty with Ahmad and B.
Yes.
pick. It's a purple pants pick. If you hurry up quick, it's a purple pants pick.
And we are on to one of my favorite segments of the podcast. It is Purple Pants Picks. That's right. You pick, I say. This is the chance you, the listener, okay, a proud member of the Purple Pants posse, get to direct what your favorite baby boy, being me, talks about. That's right. Every Saturday to my Instagram, Bryce Isaiah, I will drop a photo of me that says Purple Pants Pick, and you get to write in the topic. Anything from food, from holidays, to relationships, to anything you pick, I say. All right, Audrey, what you got for this week's Purple Pants Picks? Ooh, where'd that deep voice come from?
I don't know, but let's go.
On the first Purple Pants Picks, ex-Tina Chubb would like to know, what to do if you want to get some, but you're only attracted to people's personalities, and you live in a small town with the nearest city being 2 hours away.
Ex-Tina, you trying to be the freak of the week, girl? Get some what? Get some chicken? Get some food? Get some what? But I really think that this is a good question for the Purple Pants Picks. I often struggle with this a lot. My friend Sarah knows I don't necessarily have a type. Personally, I think that I like to be attracted to people's personalities. At the same time, I like to be physically attracted to people as well. So a dilemma that I have is that a lot of the times people that are, there's a specific type of person that is attracted to me. And Sarah, if you're listening, you know who that is. But I'm not always attracted to them. However, I've talked about this subject with my mom, and my mom, Bob, always says that looks fade, and you want to find somebody that is into you. You want to find somebody that you guys have commonalities with, because, you know, you might think you look like a 10, and 10 years down the line, you might be looking like a 4. So you want to find somebody that can appreciate you. And I think that when you find someone, and you may not be, they may not be your Brad Pitt. They may not be your Quavo from the Migos. They may not be your Danny Garcia. Now, Danny Garcia is a Philly rapper that I'm in love with. But I mean, why are we talking Danny Garcia? Anyway, they just might not be the apple of your eye. However, looks are, you know, they fade, and looks are only a part of the process and the part of the person. So I think if you find someone that they check off every check on your checklist, but they may be lacking in the look department, I say still go for it. Give them some grace, and you never know when the time comes that you guys cross that point. Their personality actually might become attractive to you, and that you can allow yourself to go there with that person. Now, I'm not saying it is going to happen all the time, because if it did, baby boy, me, would be in a relationship. But I really do feel like giving someone grace, and really kind of like, I don't want to say lowering your standards, but sometimes I feel like we set standards so high that they're just unachievable. So I really think that if you get to know the person on not just a superficial level, like, oh, what do you like to do? What are your hobbies? But if you find a person that's caring and that really shows you love, I think that you will be surprised about how you feel. Now, I've dated people that I thought that I would never be attracted to. And after a month or two of dating, I felt myself being like, you know, who you texting? Like getting jealous, because I'm like, I don't want you giving away, you know, what I find attractive to you to someone else. So I think that give the person some grace and see what happens. I'm not saying that it's a guaranteed go, but I really think that if you allow yourself to, you know, be open to the possibility, you never know where it might go. Now, you saying you live 2 hours away from a major city, that don't really mean anything. You can be from a small town and, you know, the farmer's son, you know, the bankers, that don't really make a difference, because I live in a big city and listen, I'm still waiting. So I really think give them some grace and just go with the flow. Don't do anything that you don't want to do, but I really think give them some grace. And another important thing, this is really, really important. Honesty is the key. be honest with the person. And you and I was in situations where I was not physically attracted to someone, but I let them know in a very respectful but yet honest way that, listen, you're not my type, but I like you and I'm willing to see where this can go. And, you know, we dated for a while. So I definitely think give them some grace in being honest. But listen, Purple Pants Posse, type in, tweet me, message me if you ever been in a situation like this and let me know what happened. All right, let's keep it moving. What's the next Purple Pants pick?
The next Purple Pants picks comes from just_ash88. Why are you hating on the pumpkin face leaf bag so hard?
just_ash88832-6745. I'm hating on them because I really feel like they are a violation of child labor laws, okay? I said it last podcast and I say it again. They ain't Halloween decorations. They are fancy trash bags and parents need to stop, okay? Now, I had tweeted this after the last podcast and Davey from David vs. Goliath tweeted this thing in his neighborhood that a whole house had like 37 of those trash bags outside their house. No, ma'am. No, thank you. I guess really where my trauma comes from is that growing up when I was younger, I'm the youngest sibling and I'm Barb's favorite. Okay, don't at me, just know. And I was always into holidays. Whether it be Christmas, whether it be Easter, whether it be Thanksgiving, whether it be Halloween, me and Barb would always come up with themes and decorations. And my mom was rather strict. She was a single mother, so our budget was rather limited. But when we would go to the Halloween stores, I would always want the fancy Halloween things. You know, them things that stand up. And if you walk by, it'd be like, rawr! You know, and Barb would be like, no, we're not getting that. And then Barb would walk over and get the $9.99 bags. And that's what we would have to do. And so it was not fun for me. So that's why I'm hating. But I have seen some trash bags that have been arranged around some real decorations that look nice. So, I mean, I'm really hating because it's a past trauma of mine. And I really want Barb and I want parents to do better for their kids. But I do realize Halloween decorations can be expensive and you got to work within your means. So on that respect, for me being adult looking at it, I'm fine with it. But here's the thing. I would not be hating on it so bad if maybe when I was in the yard for 4 hours raking leaves, if Barb was in the yard helping. Child, Barb would be in her room watching TV, giving orders from the window, not even helping. Okay, so that's why I'm hating on it so bad. All right, what's the next Purple Pants pick?
Puppy_core would like to know your thoughts on an all-queer LGBTQ+ survivor. How fierce would that be? Also, can you host Winky Face?
Puppy Core, yes. First of all, hey, Puppy Core, I love your Instagram. I think I've told you this before. I don't even know where Puppy Core live. It's not in the U.S., but he lives like on a farm, and his stories are always so amazing. So whenever I'm feeling down or bored, I just go to Puppy Score's stories, and they always just have amazing stories. Now, back to your Purple Pants pick. I think that season would be absolutely amazing. Fierce wouldn't be the word. I would love it because I feel like you would get the rainbow spectrum of the LGBTQ+ community and it could break down stereotypes. We could get so many different people that, you know, people aren't used to associating with LGBTQ+. And it really could do a lot for the negative stigmas. And, child, you know, that season would be shady. Now, I don't know if I could take the job of hosting because your baby boy would want to be up in that season, okay? And you could call me the sole survivor because I'm going to win it. On that same breath, I would love to see an all-African-American survivor season. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Could you imagine? I can. And listen, speak it into existence. You never know. I love these type of imaginative thoughts for Survivor. Like, yes, let's push the envelope on Survivor. Here for it. All right, what's the next Purple Pants pick?
V.A. Jill wants to know who your favorite Real Housewife is of all time.
Who of all time? Now, listen, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say I said what I said. Her name is Lanithia Leaks. I love NeNe. I love everything about NeNe. I'm sad that she's not going to be on the next season of Atlanta, but I definitely love NeNe. But it's hard to just pick one. I'm a true fan of the original OGs. So I also love Jill Zarin from Housewives of New York. She was my girl. I also love the mess that is Kim Richardson from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I also love me a Vicky Gunderson. Am I saying her name right? Gunderson. Woo-hoo! So I'm a fan of the OGs. I really love Phaedra. Okay, she could read you like no Southern Belle can. All right. I do love me a Kyle Richardson. I love me a Giselle. I love me a Karen. I don't know. I just like the OGs. I love me a Sheree. Who gonna check me, boo? So just give me the OGs and I'll be happy. All right, keep it moving. What's the next Purple Pants pick?
Justin Bass wants to know your thoughts on dating during a pandemic.
Justin, baby boy. I feel like I've said this before, but I say it again because you know you pick, I say. I think dating during a pandemic probably is the most ideal time to date. Because your interactions, your physical interactions, and when I mean physical, I ain't talking, let's get physical. No, I ain't talking that. Oh, first of all, is that Paula Abdul? Why did Paula Abdul? I don't even know if that's Paula Abdul, but I think it is. Let's get physical. I don't know. Somebody tell me whose song that is. And why do I think it's Paula Abdul? But I'm not talking physical, like, I'm talking, you may not be able to get to see this person in person as much, but it gives you the perfect opportunity to really get to know their personality, really get to understand your commonalities, really get to know if you guys are compatible. So I think dating in a pandemic, don't stop no love. Love, nothing will stop love, because guess what? Love always wins. So I feel like if you connect with someone, whether it be over social media, whether it be over a dating app, whether it be working from home in a Zoom meeting, I think that you can really find someone that you get along with and you could see where it goes. So I don't think dating in a pandemic is anything bad. I actually think it's the perfect time. So listen, but I mean, it ain't been a perfect time for me because I'm still trying to find my Prince Charming. I don't know. Maybe he listening to this podcast. Slide in the DM, baby boy.
I am Johnny_ is asking about LGBTQ rights.
Hey, Johnny. That's my little sis, okay? I think that LGBTQ rights are human rights. I think that they are no different from any other rights that we demand as citizens of this country, as citizens of this world. I think, you know, the golden rule a lot of the time gets forgotten. Treat others how you would like to be treated. And it brings me to a great point that during this election season in our country, it's important for us to get out and vote. It's important for our voice to be heard. For me, being an openly gay black man, it's important that I vote for somebody that I feel like represents myself and that is not trying to take us back into the 1960s. That understands that I am a minority and that I don't oftentimes have the privileges of others. And I think that, you know, it's important. So I want to take this opportunity just to make sure that, you know, my Purple Pants posse, we voting, okay? Mask or mail, do what you need to do and make sure that you get out and vote. Because it's a lot that's at stake. And you see that they are rushing the Supreme Court nomination. And that has a huge effect on women's rights. Because we know that in less than 20 days, a court hearing is going to be held in front of the Supreme Court that could possibly roll back women's rights centuries. So I definitely am here for gay rights. I'm definitely here for women's rights. I'm definitely here for African American rights. I'm definitely here for all minority rights. I'm here for human rights. And so that's what I stand for. So make sure you get out and vote, Purple Pants Posse. That's what I'm going to end that on. What's the next Purple Pants pick?
And our last Purple Pants picks of the week comes from Holly Mac 1971. And they would like to know, dealing with anxiety.
Holly, what a great Purple Pants pick. I deal with anxiety every day of my life. And it's something that sometimes I don't often think about, but it is a part of who I am. I realized that, I would say about 5 years ago, I realized that I had anxiety. And just even about leaving my house, a light bulb went out and I had to run to the store to get a light bulb. And I remember just having to get dressed. And I remember I'm like spending 30 minutes to get dressed to go to the store that was literally 2 minutes away. And I'm like, why am I spending so much time getting dressed? But I was just nervous about, oh, what if I see somebody? What if I don't look how I want to look? What if I look a mess? And I was just like, this is not normal, baby boy.
And I just realized that in every aspect of my life, I'm very high strung. I'm nervous about a lot of different things. And so dealing with anxiety, some people, they're at manageable levels and some people can't. And I always say that just breathe. And I know somebody like, well, that ain't really going to help me. But I definitely, for me, it does. If I just take a second and just breathe and get my priorities together and just realize that nothing is going to change and whatever I am stressed about, whatever my anxiety is about, if I just can take a couple of seconds to be grateful for my life, be grateful for the things that I have, and just really just humility, that a lot of the times helps my anxiety. I know some people are on medication. Some people do a lot of different things. But dealing with anxiety is so normal. And I think that we don't talk about it enough. We don't normalize it in this country. We hear anxiety and it's like, oh, that person's got issues. Like, no, everyone has anxiety. Some people are just able to deal with it and don't even recognize that they are having anxiety. Other people, it really can control their life. But I think having a good support system, talking to someone about it, whether it be a friend, whether it be someone in the professional realm, but really acknowledging it, I think can do a world of wonder. And that's for me, whenever I realize that I'm in, and I call them like an anxiety trance for me, because I'll rack over my head and it'll be something so simple as like going to my mom's house. And then I will just have to make a plan. I'll have to make a list. And I'm like, baby boy, calm down. You just going to your mom's house. And so for me, breathing and really just thinking about what my priorities are can help me out a lot. But let me know, Purple Pants Posse, if any of you guys out there deal with anxiety. Let me know if some of the ways that you guys deal with it. You know, we a community here, so let's share ideas, okay? Because that's, listen, if you don't talk about it, how are we going to help? How are we going to move the needle forward? How are we going to help deal with certain things like this? So I think it's important to talk about it and definitely normalize it.
And just a reminder, if your pick didn't get picked this week, do not worry. Every Saturday on Bryce's Instagram and Twitter at Bryce Isaiah. That's BRICEIZYAH. Bryce posts the Purple Pants picks, and it's your chance as the listener to get your pick in. Tune in next week to see if your Purple Pants pick was picked.
The following message is brought to you by... Give me a B.
B.
Give me an A.
A.
Give me an R.
R.
Give me a B. 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 B.
Let me hear it.
B. A. R. B. Bar. 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 B. A. R. B. Bar. Bar. Bar.
Hi, this is Ms. Barb, and I'd like to share a few more words with you as I've done in the past. The ultimate gift to go along with all healing journeys is the gift of compassion. A person who constantly reminds themselves of mistakes will never move forward. We must always allow ourselves space to heal, to learn, to be wrong, to be human. If you vilify yourself and others over mistakes, especially small ones, it can build up big resentments in the present and the future. Instead, use the information to teach yourself how to maneuver the next time you are in a particular situation. You need to give yourself compassion more than you need to beat yourself up. Love you.
Thank you, Mom, for another installment of Barb's message. I don't know about y'all, Purple Pants Posse, but she be preaching to me. I be needing that sometimes. I could definitely give myself and others more compassion. So that's my goal this week. And if you got something out of it, you know what to do. Make sure you tweet me, DM me, send me a message, because you know I screenshot them right to Barb and I send them right to her. And you never know, she might just write a personal message back to you.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
Hold on, y'all. Give me a second. Might be me, might be you, might be... Hey, okay. Listen, baby boy, Jason Curtis Rivera. Okay, he be with the jams. He be with the jams. And if you haven't, make sure you check out this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, because baby boy Jason was on there with Rob and Akiva Need a Musical. It is what you need to bless your soul. So let's give it one time for Jason Curtis Rivera. Now, we on to Freak of the Week. Now, I was minding my business this week. Now, seriously, I was minding my business. I had a lot going on. You know, I was stressed out this week. I talked to you guys about it earlier. And so I said, you know what? Let me go to the Instagram to decompress. And I came across this previous Freak of the Week. Okay. Now, he got to be Freak of the Week again this week. So I was on the Instagram of Ben Dreebergen from Healers, Hustlers, Heroes, and Winners at War. Okay. Listen. And so I'm just, you know, chilling. What really made me go to Ben's page was maybe about 2 weeks ago. Random story. Go with me. Ben had called me during the day, and I picked up the phone, was like, baby boy. And he was like, baby boy. You know how Ben talk. And we ended up being on the phone for like 2 hours. And I just love Ben so much. We are so different from opposite ends of the world, the country, exterior. We look so different, but in our hearts, we're brothers. And so the stuff that we talked about was so crazy. But one of the things that we talked about, listen to this. I happened to be out buying a bed and a bag. So I was like, Ben, I'm going to have to call you back. I'm at the store buying a bed and a bag. He was like, you bought a bed and a bag. I was like, yeah, I have this thing. I don't, you know, buy sheets. I just keep buying them. And he just thought that was so funny. And so one of the things we talked about, I was like, now I need to know, Ben, before this call ends, are you a socks on or socks off type of person when you in the bed with new sheets? Ben was like, are you kidding me? Socks off. I was like, yes. And then Ben was like, well, it's even better when you shave your legs. I said, Ben, what you know about that fresh shaved leg? Okay, so that just 2 hours of me and Ben talking about that. But anyway, back to the Instagram, okay? This week, baby boy done posted, how much wood could a wood chuck if a wood could, I don't even know if I said, hang on. I'm trying to read it all slow. No. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck chuck could chuck a how much wood could a... Oh. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck chuck could a chuck a little chuck a chuck a chuck a... Hold on. How much wood could a woodchuck if a... Okay, I'm getting it right. Hold on. How much wood could a woodchuck if a wood... No, hold on. I'm getting this right. Hold on. How much wood could a woodchuck if... 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. How much wood would a woodchuck cut if... hold on! How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? Did that sound right? Hold on. All right, now let's speed it up. How much wood could a woodchuck cut if a woodchuck... Anyway, y'all know what I'm trying to say. So, baby boy was out in his backyard chucking some wood, okay? And it's not even a photo. It's the video for me, okay? So make sure you go to Ben Dreebergen's Instagram and let him know he the freak of the week. Now, mind you, the plot thickens. You know Joe Minna, okay? Mr. Zaddy 2021, April. He won't go up in the comments talking about good job. Okay, first of all, Joe Minna, we know, okay, you might be a Zaddy in April, but we know... You can't chuck no wood, okay? How much wood could a Joe chuck wood if a Joe could chuck wood? The answer is none, okay? Whew, Joe Minna be getting on my nerves. But anyway, yes, Ben is the freak of the week. Y'all know what to do, because I commented on the photo, and some of y'all was already like, freak of the week, okay? So make sure you go to that page and hashtag freak of the week and at the Purple Pants Podcast. And you already know, you want me to say it, if we at the Freak of the Week, then it means we have come to an end of another podcast. I want to thank all my Purple Pants posse, all the new listeners, anybody that just happened to click on a podcast and listen it. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate you so much. I need to make sure that you guys are subscribing to my podcast, okay? I'm on Apple Podcasts. I'm on Spotify. I'm on anywhere that you get your podcast. You just better type in Purple Pants Podcast and hit that subscribe button. I need to make sure that you write a review, okay? Give your baby boy some 5 stars. Tell a friend to tell a friend, to tell your cousin, to tell your grandma, to tell your uncle, to tell your sister, to tell your teacher, to tell the man at the grocery store that
it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.